Good morning, church. Very good morning, brothers and sisters, church members, as well as new visitors who are joining us here for the first time, and also those of you who are tuning us with us online, wherever you are, welcome, and we are glad to have you this very morning. So before I share today's message, I would just like to maybe update you guys on what's happening in LifeWire, on our youth ministry. This year, we have done quite a lot of initiative in terms of collaboration with the counseling ministry. And thank you, Pastor Kelvin and the team, for helping us to conduct one counseling session with the youth, as well as the intergenerational ministry with the LifeGen. Thank you, Pastor Ronnie, for your help as well, and also with different churches of youth ministry that we can do combination of services. And also, recently, we just finished our youth camp for the year this year. Just now, as Jaden was sharing, you know, he found some breakthroughs as well through there. And we encourage as well more of our youth to really come and join us for this ministry. Now, for those youth who did not able to attend for this youth this year youth ministry, don't worry, there's another regional youth camp that will be happening in September. So that one will be a bigger scale. That will be arranged by the Youth Alive of Malaysia. And yeah, I think this, the last time I was preaching was about 1 year and 1 month ago. And what has happened, transpired for me coming into full-time ministry has been a lot of things. I feel that the past 1 year has been more happening than my 5 years of my life previously. So many things has happened. And I was able to go to Sabah to preach there as well for the youth. And it's really amazing, you know, how God can just lead you to one place to another place. If you're willing to serve Him well and you're willing to avail yourself, you know, He will put you to different places and He will make you do things that you never imagined, way beyond imagination. And this year, also, I was able to serve in on a national level. Just now, what Jaden was sharing, the YES Camp. I was one of the faculty to do the grading, to do the assessment for the youth. And truly, it's been a very, a lot of things that really has transpired for me in serving in different occasions as well. So I would say that I'm really humbled by this, you know. And the Lord told me that there will be more. People telling me there will be more things that will come. So I just have to continue on to be open and to be available into whatever the Lord has led me through. All right, and just want to share, last week we had our graduation, the 6 of us from our church, and this is the scroll that they have given to us. And I just want to say, this is not a one-man effort, this is a collective effort. I want to thank all of you for your prayer, your love, as well as your support. This would not have been done possible within such a short span of time. So, Subang Jaya, this one is for you guys. Really. Okay, and today I'm preaching just to assure you that I'm not in depression, because last week, quite a number of people come to me and thought I was having depression. The video was so good that people ask me, you need to see Pastor Kelvin. I say, no need. Because Pastor Kelvin, before the shooting, told me, you better don't get depressed. Huh? You better don't get depressed. Huh? I don't want to have another client. Huh? Okay? All right. Are you ready for the Word of God for this morning? Yeah. All right. Today's my message is entitled, Embracing the Generation. This month, out of our church, we are on the team of the church. And I'm going to touch on embracing the generation. We will be reading from Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. And I'll be reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. All right, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. And here's what the word of the Lord says. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slave to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husband, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger man to be self-controlled, show yourself in all respect to the model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this morning as we gather together. And as we read your passage of the scripture on Titus, verse 1 to 14, may this word build us up, mold us up, and how you want us to be, Lord. Let us listen to your will from the passage that we have read. And may your spirit move in this hall, and also those who are watching and tuning with us live right now. May you touch them. May everyone be touched and be changed and be transformed into your likeness. And we thank you, Lord. All this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, just a little bit of historical context on Titus chapter 2. All right, it's a letter that Paul wrote to Titus. Titus was in the island of Crete. All right, there's an image. All right, and Crete is where quite west away from Israel. Okay, Paul was doing his missionary work and he was there to establish a church. And after that, he left the place and allowed Titus to set things right in order for the church to function well. Of course, he did that, and by instructing Titus to appoint leaders that is appropriate, and also to command Titus to tell the people how they ought to behave themselves in the church. Because number one, the church there, or rather the culture in Crete, is actually very immoral. In the ancient world, we see a lot of immoralities that is quite apparent, especially during Jesus' time. So we will notice that chapter 2 and Titus, you know, there are details that desire characteristic of the church members, you know, highlighting the importance of their behavior within the community themselves and also how they were to act within the society as a whole. So Paul's ultimate goal was not merely an agreement with his teaching, not telling them to just agree, but he wants a transformation of their life through the true gospel. So because the thing here is, Crete is actually quite infamous for a lot of immorality. As quite vividly as what Paul was instructing, there are things that they are doing is a little bit not so correct, especially how each gender are conducting themselves. So amidst this challenged environment, Paul recognized, you know, the need for specific instruction to address this issue. And despite the prevailing culture of that time of indulgence, similarly to our modern context, Paul believed that the gospel could foster godliness in the daily lives of the Cretans of the church. Because there are two issues that the Cretan church was facing. Number one, they had false teaching. There was a lot of false teachers who were trying to teach them wrong doctrines of what Christianity is all about. So there was an internal issue in the church in terms of teaching. Number two is the ungodliness of the culture. Because after people finish their church service, they go out and then, well, the culture or rather the narrative of the society happens to be quite ungodly in a sense. So the people, or rather Titus, was suffering from this issue. So now Paul is instructing Titus to set it properly in motion. Now, how does it affect our church as well? Well, in all the churches today, I notice, especially in Malaysia, there seems to be a new movement of church moving towards more of a family church. We are going back more to the New Testament time of biblical church, where the church should be more family-oriented rather than just one generation. And in Subang Jaya Assembly, as I can see, that we have all the generation. Now, how does all generations fit together in one church? So we have, nowadays, we have this so-called categorization of each generation, all right? The generation builders, the generation boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, and now we have the new one, which we are called the Generation Alpha, okay? Some people call them the Generation TikTok. Please do not stereotype them as TikTok. They are Generation Alpha, okay? So each generation, you notice that there's always a very different characteristic. You know, the way we the expectation of each generation is very different. Now, as a youth leader, I handle mostly the Generation Z. Now, as the years goes by, the new one is the Generation Alpha. And for whatever reason, the Gen Z tell me that they don't understand the Generation Alpha. I tell them, huh, you are just one generation after. They say, yeah, we still don't understand them. I say I'm a millennium, which is Y. So it's two generations away. And so you notice, even, you know, when I interact with my grandmother, when I interact with my auntie, when I interact with my cousin, when I interact with my younger cousin, there seems to be we're all in one family, but somehow expectation is very different. And the reason why is because through the years, their environment has changed. How last time, those days, in youth, everyone all do SPM. Nowadays, we have SPM, IGCSE, this one from don't know what international school, this one from don't know what private school, all different kinds already. So they live in a very different environment. And so the education system is also quite same a bit, but a little bit different. All right. And so how do we reconcile all this into one pack, into especially in the church? Okay. So number one, we must understand that every generation know your role. Okay. Know your role. From verse 1 to verse 10. Okay, as Paul mentioned, especially verse 1, highlight here, accords with sound doctrine. Now, what does Paul mean by sound doctrine? Okay, he's referring to teaching that promotes spiritual health, ensuring our soul and lives are sound, okay, which means clean or a kind to hygiene, thus promoting spiritual well-being. Okay, it's not something that's a bit messy, but it's something that's clear, clean-cut, and very well presented. Sound doctrine. He start with that first. And so this teaching actually applies, actually what Paul was trying to refer, it applies to specifically to different family roles. Older man, older woman, younger man, and bond servant are to learn how to have sound doctrine. Our behavior are supposed to embody that kind of sound doctrine. All right? Because when we have the right doctrine of our understanding of the gospel, it will eventually lead to right behavior. My mom has a friend who, many years ago, she likes the couple friend, you know, invite us to their house, you know. Very hospitable people, okay? And but the thing about the house is quite unusual for a house, because the moment you enter the house, all right, there's a door here. The moment you open the door, there's a lot of things. And when I mean a lot of things, there's things that should not belong into this room is there. Kitchen stuff is in the living room and all kinds of things. And so the house is so messy to the point that you cannot even walk, you know, because you have to kind of like slowly step and, you know, in case you step on a biscuit or something, because it's so messy to the point that even I don't find a chair to sit. I think one time I went there, I was sitting on a box because there was no chair to sit. All the chairs are all stuck up with things. And so when you look around the rooms, it looks like, I don't know whether, is it a storeroom or is it a bedroom or is it a study room, because everything looks very messy. Sometimes you see the pot and pan also is on the staircase one. Very, very messy. Wow, sometimes you also don't know. And then sometimes you ask them where's the things, they know one. But for us, we don't know where the things, because it's so messy. Everything is everywhere. And so sometimes even when we understand our faith and our doctrine as well, is it very messy or is it very clear cut and clean? So this is the thing. So verse 2 to verse 10, you know, addresses to all the generation, but I want to just highlight, you know, to the old, okay, as those of you who are old, how to generalize the old, okay, you have worked more than 10 years, okay, that's how old you are, all right, being old. You know, as you age, I also realized as I turned 30 this year, I started to kind of like harden certain thoughts, in the sense that there are certain things I start to become a bit stubborn. And it gets harder as I get on aging. Sometimes we always complain, the older generation don't listen to us. But now, as I age, I realize actually, the more you age, the more you start to harden on certain things and you cannot change anymore already. You become more like a bamboo stick. so hard you cannot bend anymore. All right, but to be honest, as you grow in age, especially when Paul highlights the previous slide, verse 1 and verse 4, sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness is not automatically, but it's taught. So as you grow older, or as you grow in grace, these values can be taught whichever age you are in. There's no such thing as you are, oh, I'm already very old already, I don't need to learn all this. No, it's taught. It can be done, even at how old you can, how old you are. So it's not about only when you're young, only you're able to do all this, but even at the old age, you're able to wrestle with all these very godly values in your life. And actually, that's the beauty of growing older, because you learn to harden on the things that is right in God. Okay, it's never too late to embrace this virtue, because it encourages us to solidify in love and patience as we mature. So old age is a really, really good thing, because I have a lot of friends, or rather mentors, you know, that are older than me, and they really show me a godly character that is very loving, very patient, very wise as well. And sometimes they rebuke me on certain things, but I thank God for their rebuke, because it helps me as well. So I really thank God for the older generation, for how they have led us, led me, and also my family, the younger generation. Because if it's not for them, we will not be who we are today. And that also inspired the younger generation to see how my generation is such a good example to learn and to honor the older generation. And so, of course, the next slide where you see in instruction, you know, Paul is also telling the women, okay, the older women to train, and also because older women also are quite influential as well in different aspects, especially in the homes. Most of the time in my youth ministry, in this church as well as even the church before, I notice always the person I talk to when it comes to the youth is always the mother. The mother is like the spiritual minister of the household, you know. And I really thank God for the mother as well. Can we just give a round of applause to all the mothers here? You know, you guys are doing a fantastic job in nurturing your children so well in their spiritual life. And I want to say here is that the women in our family, especially my two grandmothers, they may not have a lot of high education, okay? But they are so influential in the family, despite them not having that kind of like degree and masters and all that. But just the fact that who they are and what they have done in our life is really amazing. Okay, may I ask you a question? How many of you here, you can raise your hand, you know, you are a proud mama boy and mama girl, you know? How many of you here are proud mama boy and mama girl? Huh? Not many proud mama boy, mama girl. So few in here. Oh, okay, maybe your dad is a more popular one. Okay, never mind. All right, next question. How many of you here are a proud grandmama boy and grandmama girl? Huh? So few anyone? Oh, only two. Okay, I got a few, all right. Grandmothers are so, so amazing because they are so important to us. And I don't know, how many agree here that, you know, grandmother's cooking is like the best cooking? Huh? Only few only, yeah. So, what your grandmother do at home, man? Really, yeah? Oh, great. Wow. Huh? Or go eat outside anyone? Wow, okay. Grandmothers. But the old are honored people. All right? They are people that has gone before us, and they can help us to live our life better. I just want to share a testimony that I had an ex-colleague. She's 50-something and above. I used to work in the corporate world, 8 years. And she was a new Christian, okay? She started her faith very well. In a church, and I started a prayer group in the office, all right? So I gather all the Christians, and then we have a prayer meeting together. And the objective of this prayer meeting is just to pray for our bosses, even though I always tell them, we may not like our bosses' decision, we may not really like how they act, but let us honor them in our prayers. So that's really helpful. And so this lady is about her in her 50s, and sometimes when she would ask me very doctrinal question, because I was sharing about forgiveness in one devotion, and then she asked me, why do we need to forgive when someone, you know, done wrong to us? And so I tried to explain to her, and after I done explaining, she looked at me like that. I tell you, if looks could kill, I would be dead on the spot already. Really, her glare was so like, you know, because she just could not accept that kind of doctrine of forgiveness. But I realized something, even though she was in her 50s, because she see me studying in Bible College of Malaysia as a part-time student, she was inspired to also go for BSF, take her discipleship course in her church. She started to read the Word of God even more. And suddenly I see her life transform. Came 2021, the time was still we are having our pandemic, the lockdown. And then somewhere in March, at the end, she told me that she got released from the company after 20 plus years being loyal to the company. Well, when the bus hits the stops already, sometimes the company will have to take very desperate measures and they will have to just release off certain people out from the company. No choice. And she was one of them that was released out. Me and my colleague that were close to her, we cried, you know. Why is me still living, you know, that kind of thing. But she shared a very powerful testimony. She said that even though she was told to leave the company, because usually sometimes when she don't get her way, she will really quarrel and fight one. That's how her attitude is. But even despite that, that time, because she was already, nutrients in her spiritual life, she accepted it with grace. Because her immediate boss was very scared that she may retaliate very fast. But no, she learned by grace. And she gave a very good example for all of us to learn. That even at old age, you know, you still can learn to grow in patience and kindness and training us all as well. All right? And to the young people. You know, being young, we have a lot of desires, we have a lot of ambitions, and we come up with a lot of crazy, crazy ideas. But Paul here in verse 6, he said, likewise, younger men, as well as so, I was put women as well, younger women, learn to have self-control. Very important. If you're ambitious and your desire gets into your head, you'll be blinded. I did that mistake many, many times in the church as well as in the workplace. And I got whacked left and right because of my desires and my ambitions. Sometimes we may think that it's good, you know. But sometimes, how does it affect others? That is the thing that can happen. And if our desires and our actions tends to, you know, bring down the rest, therefore, it may not be a good ambitions and desire after all. All right? And so Paul is urging the young people to start living a life that is serious and to start living a life that is orderly. No need to become childish anymore, but learn to grow in faith. And also, the generation that is after us, they are there to teach us and guide us as well. And the verse 9 to verse 10, bond servant, be good workers, and also be submissive to your masters. Paul is telling us how, as slave to the masters, you must learn to submit to your authorities of the people that is governing you. All right. So Paul commands the slave to be submissive to their masters, even if they are church leaders. And the word here, plaffering, okay, is actually a very common ancient term that was used. Because those days, the servant, they can actually steal a little bit. Because most of the times, it's all agricultural community work, right? And so sometimes when you harvest certain things, the servant can just keep certain things in their pocket and they will just tell the master, oh, this is how much we collected. And so Paul is telling them, the way you behave in your community, in your workplace, you must be the kind of different, honest worker and a hard worker as well. So that when you do these kind of things, people can see that you actually adorn. That means you decorate the whole gospel around you and people can see Christ in you. And so that God may be glorified wherever you go. So, that is the thing. Know every generation, know your role, know where your place is. Point number two, every generation
should be every generation nurture each other. Both sides of the generation, whether old, whether young, we are helping one another. We are growing together. And so sometimes there's always this, I always see there's a tense of misperception that, the older generation got nothing to teach or no time for the younger generation. And the younger generation got nothing to feel that, you know, the older generation is far, far away. You know, that they have nothing for us to learn from them. Well, there's a misconception because younger men, the God has put this kind of order for each generation to learn from one another. It's never about separation. Okay, we just stick to our own group. We stick to our own group. We don't need to listen to the other side. No. It's more about learning from one another, and that's how we nurture each other. It's never about separation, all this kind of thing. But how do we come together? And that's how we grow faster in faith. And if you think that, and I always tell the young generation, if you think that the older generation cannot learn from us, no, sorry. Actually, they can. They can learn from us as well. As the example I just gave to you about my ex-colleague, she learned from me, and then suddenly when she became who she is, I started to learn from her. The patient and the loving, and even able to be submissive into that order. So community living, you know, especially the way our behavior affects others, gives strong impact. You know, how the way we behave is very visible. Because the church gathers in all its glorious diversity, the young, the old, the male and the female, the parent and the child, those who are still under slavery to their own sins, and those who are free, the church gathers all these people. And every group has its own unique strength and weaknesses. And the church, the local church, is a place to value each strength and help with each weaknesses. My boss, I had a corporate boss, and he's a man that is very hot-tempered, like to fight, like to quarrel. And a lot of people tell me, the different department bosses tell me, they don't like my boss. I say, no, they tell me, I know. The way you behave in front of him also, I know already you don't like him. The way you email to him also, I know you don't like him. So one day, during the 2021, we had this thing called KPI, you know, Key Performance Indicator. You know, it's a time to reveal how the staff perform and how the team perform. And so all this performance was evaluated. And so my company are quite good. They actually allow the employees to have a one-on-one session with your immediate boss. And that is a time where you can whack your boss up properly. Whack him up. Tell him how you feel, how you distaste or whatever. And so the boss, they are commanded to keep quiet during the process of the whacking. So how long it goes, it's up to you. You want to scold him for 1 hour, so can. Okay? So my friend, my good friend, colleague, he said, hey, brother, whack him properly. Give him properly. You know, I already gave him properly already last Tuesday. Now your turn. Whack him properly, because I was the last one. And I was quite influential in the company, and I was quite favored by many people in the office. So my friend told me, you know, give him properly. You know that day, he go mess up the whole meeting, and then we can already. So now it's time for you to give him properly. Alright? And to me, I was also quite upset. You know, his leadership was, it just went down the drain, and everything was just not so good as well. So came the time of whacking him. But of course, we all work from home, okay? So the laptop was there, we off video, and so my boss, he said, okay, alright, now's the time for you to tell me what are you upset of. I will take it as an improvement. I will not take it too hard, okay? Just let me know what you feel, and I will just take it as an improvement performance, okay? I said, okay. And before I wanted to say what I have in mind, suddenly the pastor in me came out. It's as though the Holy Spirit put a blanket over me. You know, there was this warmness in my back because I was slouching on the front of the laptop, and with this warmness filling me properly. And suddenly, rather than telling my mind off to him, I became very compassionate. I forgot what I said to him, but I said, boss, I know that, you know, being a leader, being there is very hard, and sometimes we do mistakes. I don't know what was I saying, just words just come out from my mouth only. No, but it was very, very caring in a sense. And then my boss
replied back with a very nervous laugh because he was expecting a whack. But end up, he got a guy to take care of his feelings. And then after that, later on, an hour later, my friend called me. "So, how was it? Did you whack that guy up properly?" Then I said, no. I suddenly became very compassionate. "He's a brother. That was a time to whack him." I said, "Yeah, but I know. But somehow, things just went a different way." But I realized, I thank God for the intervention. Because you know why? My boss became a better person after that. He changed. He changed for the better. In front of my eyes, you know, I've never seen him change. It's because he finally tasted compassion, love, and mercy. That was the very important thing. That's why when Paul really wrote, "Bond servant, please be well-pleasing, not argumentative. Be submissive, because you win your boss over as well." And he was changed. Because usually, he has a very problem with the young generation. People that goes with him, somehow 3 months, they quit already, or 6 months, they quit. It's a very common thing nowadays. People just quit 3 or 6 months. And so when I was under him, people say, "Yeah, just son, I think you won't last 1 year." I lasted with him 5 years at least. And then those people that are higher in 2021, they are younger than me, they are still there after 3 years because my boss has changed so much. And so sometimes I want to say here is that the attitude and the behavior that we go around to people, you know, does it benefit others or does it build them up? So these are two things that we need to think about. And so in every generation, you just be where you are, all right? You don't need to go and, nurture each other, yes. We try to engage with one another, but try not to behave like one kind, okay? Like the older man try to behave like a 20-year-old. That is very dangerous. Please don't do that. Okay, can you imagine if Pastor... Don't kill me after this. Okay, can you imagine if Pastor Ronnie dressed tight t-shirt, ripped jeans, you know? Because he handles the young adult ministry. So can you imagine he wear tight t-shirt, ripped jeans, and then he start to talk to you in the Z lingo. "I stand for Jesus. You guys don't need to sip tea because I speak with no caps and Jesus is the goat." "Huh? Jesus is goat? I thought he's a sheep." Can you imagine if he talked like that? I tell you, it'd be so frightening. Our mind, some of you are shaking already. You guys are imagining it already. Can you imagine that? He speak like that, that kind of lingo, that kind of dress, just to try to appeal to the younger generation. No need, just dress as you are. Okay, behave as you are. That's what we need. We don't need you to behave like us. Okay, we are already behaving like one kind. No need you to come into us to behave like that kind. Okay, we want to see a different kind of the person of another generation. All right, imagine if he does that. And then, of course, our church inside joke. If someone looks like mentally unhealthy, who do we refer him to? Pastor Kelvin. Pastor Kelvin would tell him, "Repent in Jesus' name." No need to do session already. Okay? So behave in your season. No need to, you know, want to nurture each other as what the Bible has said. Old man, older woman, this is what you ought to do. Younger man, younger woman, this is what all you ought to do. I find a very common argument between all generation. They like to complain about each other one. We like to complain about the one before us, we complain about the next one before us, the next one after us. There's always that kind of, we tend to set a prejudice against one another. And this is not very healthy, even in a family structure. And if you bring that to the church, it will also happen like that. So I want to appeal to all of you, okay, as the Malaysian slang, all right, that we like to use, kasih chance lah, all right? Give everyone a chance to learn and to grow and to love one another. Sometimes, yes, we may have differences, definitely, but we should learn to give people a chance when they learn and try to approach the different generation. This is a very important thing. We must give and learn to show mercy to one another. Because here's the thing, most Christians will learn theology from the fray of life, from another person's behavior and example. What we believe will be evident in the way we live. All right? So, I will say this term. The older generation need the younger generation to learn how to navigate
contemporary challenges and embrace new perspective. During MCO period, all the older generation had to use a smartphone, had to learn how to use QR code, have to learn how to do bank transfer and all that. And the younger generation know how to do it very fast. Okay? And the younger generation, we need the older generation in order to learn how to navigate with life, how to make right, proper decision. Some maybe, yes, they may have made very bad mistakes, but we can learn from their mistakes as well. It's also a life lesson. The Bible itself has a lot of record of all kinds of people. Bad people, example, like King Saul, but we can learn from him how that he may, what kind of conduct he has made that caused the mistake to his downfall. Now, I want to say here is that for me, I may be good in my biblical knowledge, okay? I got a degree now, and I'm also pursuing my master's next month. But honestly, I still need to learn from the older generation how to live life and how to conduct myself appropriately in my seasons of life. You know, it's impossible to learn life from the book and the classroom, but life can be learned through the life of others. And because they have more important things they can teach us as well. So don't ever kind of like block your learning, but learn to open up. Everyone, we can learn from one another. And the third point, every generation is trained under grace. Right? In verse 11 to verse 13, here is the motivation of why we ought to behave according to what Paul has written. All right? There are two things here. Number one, it's because of the atonement. And number two, because of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that motivate us to have this kind of behavior. Without it, we will never have. This is the sound doctrine where it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, not heaven, rather the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is where things hits the road, because when we understand this doctrine, every of us generation will learn how to conduct ourselves appropriately, because what's our core belief is the atonement of salvation that's given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ and our expectation of his return very, very soon. All right? And lastly, verse 14, because he has atoned us and he has bring us all together, okay, and he's coming back very soon, he has also take certain people, okay, those who have accepted salvation, he is purifying them and he's moving them to have zealous, to be zealous in good works. And what this good work means is basically good works in godliness and to be zealous for his kingdom. It applies to all generation. And when we are able to have that kind of core understanding value of this doctrine, you will see the beauty of a church that's healthy, that will bring all the kind of gifts that will flourish, that can touch lives. And even when we come back into the church, we will all be transformed equally, and also we will grow in grace in Christ-likeness. So where can this be found? Well, comprehend every age group, unite them in one location, and foster an environment where each generation uplifts one another to their fullest potential. This environment can be found within the local church. It's only by the local church that you can find all these kind of things that will nourish and flourish. And sometimes we always complain to certain people. You know, you've been in church for many, many years, so many years already, and you still don't behave like a Christ. Like, what's going on? I suspect maybe it's because the doctrinal part was not right. And so here in Titus is trying to help us. We must set our doctrine right. And then when the doctrine is correct, then it will flow to the practical, which is from verse 2 to verse 10. From that practical, as people can see our behavior, it becomes believable. Because when you behave in that certain way, people will be able to also see that it is a believable gospel. The gospel becomes a reality in people's eyes. And that's the beauty of what our faith is. So in closing, just want to share of a personal testimony. When I started to join BCM, okay, there was three criteria that I need. There were one criteria. I needed to find three referrer. One is a pastor, one is a church board, and one is a lay leader. Three people. And they need to know me at least 2 years to be my character referrer. That means they need to be someone that really familiar with me. Lah. The thing is, that time when I was registering, I just joined SJAG in 2018. And the time BCM wanted me to file all this so that I can continue with my Bachelor of Theology. But the thing is, nobody in this pastor knows me more than 2 years. At most, they only know me at least 5 months only. But finally, my uncle, he's a pastor, so he became my character referrer. But the other two, the church board leaders as well as the lay person, must be someone that at least know me for 2 years. So I actually had two mentors in my previous church. They were my cell leaders, and they were very, very influential in my life during those moments. I mean, in the cell, I'm like 17, 18 years old, but I'm in the kind of like adult cell, and they trained me and they nourished me, Leslie and Charlie. So I asked them, can you be my character referrer for this? And then they told me, yes, we can. And so they sign everything, you know, they evaluate me, and then they pass me back the paper. But I cannot see that because it's not for the student to see. But then I told them, I said, I don't know what am I signing up for, really. I just felt that I just need to go to BCM to study. And then they just told me, Jisan, the God that we believe, you know, for many years, he has led us to places that we never imagined. And we believe he will do the same for you. But fortunately, Leslie and Charlie has passed away. Leslie died in 2018. Charlie died in 2021. And honestly, I really miss them. They were really someone that I really admired, and someone that really showed me, you know, older people can actually help the younger generation. And without them, I won't be where I am today. And to be honest, sometimes through the years I was studying, I really wanted to give up, you know, because I was thinking, what am I doing? Why am I studying so much? Why am I going through all this process and all these studies, assignments, you know, exam, you know, all these things, you know. But then I always remember their advice to me. Even though they have passed away, but I always remember their advice. Carry on. Keep on living that life and keep on pursuing. If God has placed something in you, you have found your purpose in life, go for it. Go for it. And they always pray for me when they were still alive. And I really dedicate my accomplishment, finishing my degree, to them. Because if it wasn't for the older generation, I would not be where I am today. So I really thank God for their life. So I have a question for all of us here, especially as you listen to this message. You know, what is fueling you to be living in the way you live? Is it because of the ways the environment or society is having the narrative? Or is it that you're living your life in the doctrine of the beautiful imagery of that transformation and on the blessed hope? So think about it. What is it that you're living for? Is it for your own purpose? Or is it for God? Is it for salvation?